This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Jeff Sandu.
I'm Indy Braj.
We are talking about staying alive or die, adapt or die, or zombie companies, and how Yahoo have redesigned their logo to remind us that they actually exist. That's the topic of discussion we've been having today. Do you want any more to add to that before we move on to our next story, Jeff?
Yeah, like we ended the talk sets just asking about what is the hero in your company. Those are some of the things that you can do, I guess, when you run a company or an organization. There are, you know, a few tips that you can do to sort of keep your brand alive. And you got to make that one element a hero. And also, you got to keep it simple. The successful brand management is often an exercise in constraints. So limit the marketing claim and benefit statements to maybe two or three so you don't really confuse the customer. So, you know, just keep it simple. Just look at the Yahoo's logo, new logo. It's simple compared to the one in 2013, which, you know, looks like a mess.
A bit too much.
Yeah.
I seem to recall that we had a discussion back then about Yahoo's rebranding.
Yeah.
I think we may have done. Right. If you haven't already heard the news, Thomas Cook, travel agency, founded back in 1841, so they're technically older than Avon, of course, by businessman Thomas Cook, have closed shop. Back then, it was originally a company that was organizing railway outings for members of the local temperance movement. If you don't know what that is, that's for people who are against people who drink, right? Fast forward a few years later, and of course, Thomas Cook owned Club 1830. When you're talking about people who don't drink, you see, things change, right? So 178 years later, they'd grown to a huge global travel group. Annual sales are around $9 billion, 19 million customers a year, 22,000 staff operating in 16 countries. Sadly, right now, though, 500,000 stranded tourists worldwide. Now, this whole question as to what happened over the last couple of years, why they have been in so much trouble, boils down to a bunch of things, really. Financial, social, and even meteorological problems, weather issues, stiff competition from online travel agents, low-cost airlines, other disruptive factors, including political unrest. In addition, many holidaymakers had become used to putting together their own holidays, not using travel agents anymore. Here's a really interesting quote from a former manager of Monarch, who were one of the subsidiaries, who went on to say, "Thomas Cook were an analog business model in a digital world. Much of the value of the business was perceived to be in its brand and the loyalty of its customer, and they kind of accounted for their books as goodwill. They had very little in the way of tangible assets like planes or hotels, so the planes that they operated were actually hired. Mm. The hotels were hired. So when customers left for online competitors or to book their own flights and hotels, the value of the firm plummeted. And of course, over the last couple of years, over in the UK and elsewhere, there were heat waves, so people didn't feel the need to kind of go off to Greece or to wherever it is. The problem is, though, it's plunging governments across Europe and Africa into crisis planning mode as they have to help with the repatriation of more than 500,000 stranded tourists and begin to count the cost of the company's demise. 50,000 holidaymakers stranded in Greece, 21,000 in Turkey, 15,000 in Cyprus, 4,500 in Tunisia, a whole bunch of them stuck in the US, thousands in fact. Most of the tourists are from the UK with an estimated 150,000 people, followed by Germany with about 140,000 tourists over there. The thing is, it's going to hit the Spanish economy hard, it's going to hit the Greek economy hard, Turkish economy, and not just on top of that, but the amount of staff that they've got. What was it? I said 22,000 staff worldwide accounting who will be losing, who have lost their jobs, in fact.
So I found this news surprising simply because even when you look at those numbers, the amount of people who have traveled using the services who are now stranded, that's a large number. And like, you know, I'm still scratching my head over the fact that how can a company that still has, if any startup, any travel company startup that has that kind of numbers, you know, they would be in dreamland. They would probably call themselves a unicorn business already, right?
Right.
If you have that kind, that amount of travelers using your services, and for them to decide to, you know, we're going to close shop tomorrow, and boom, it's gone and left thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people stranded, is a sign that, you know, all the excuses that, well, the so-called excuses that they give, oh, it's your challenging times, you know, with the online low-cost, you know, planes and carriers and stuff like that and all that, is an excuse for just really bad management.
Entirely that. So there are a whole bunch of factors that did come together to make this happen. Right? In the last decade, they've had three different CEOs. And each of these CEOs have received a hefty amount of money.
Yep.
Now, one of these CEOs thought it would be a good idea to take a competing company, the cooperative travel agency, and buy out that company outright. So then you had Thomas Cook bought along Co-op, and so what he wanted to do was to have like a monopoly on high street travel agencies. And what he didn't realize is that by doing that, you've got two effects. You've got essentially sometimes two Thomas Cooks on the same street in the same town paying the same amount of rent, you know, which is, as in of itself is a silly idea. So that was one thing. Then, of course, there's a whole bunch of people trying to blame Brexit for it. Now, it's not that Brexit is the only problem. You know, Brexit created a weak pound, which lowered demand for overseas travel. And so people were paying more because of this, you know, and this uncertainty about Brexit means that people withheld their funding. The Thomas Cook were propped up by a Chinese company who said, look, you need 900 million pounds, but we can help you with that. But first, you need to find this 200 million pounds to show us that you can get through the winter.
Yep.
Nobody wanted to give them that money. You know, they looked at their books, they've looked at Brexit coming, they've looked at what's been happening, and went, I'm sorry. And so, literally, as flights were over the Atlantic and as flights were over the North Sea, they had to announce, I'm sorry, but that's it. You know, once this plane has landed, there is no more Thomas Cook.
You just put the shutters down.
They just put the shutters down.
But it's also like what Jeff said. One is mismanagement. The other thing is overconfidence. And then you mentioned like people are loyal to Thomas Cook because of the brand, not because of their services or how good they were. So I think after a certain amount of time, people just lose that loyalty. Or they go like, no matter how old you are, you can be like 176, 186, 200 years old. But if you're not delivering, then even the people who are putting money into your company, they see through that stuff or the you know, that facade that you're putting up.
Right.
There's this article on Yale Insights. It's from 2015. And there's one interesting line where it says that it's important to carefully select a mode of how you grow. If you pick the wrong one, then you're going to waste a lot of time or simply fail. So it basically says that some companies, once they get so rich or so big, or they have so much money, they keep going into the acquisition game. So they buy out other companies and just pick up, eat up all the smaller guys. And then you have no money to actually fund the smaller guys.
Yeah.
And then it backfires on you and you have no idea what you're doing. And then in like 5 or 10 years, you close shop.
Right.
So this looks like exactly what happened to Thomas Cook.
There are hoteliers over in Tunisia where the tourism minister over there, René Trabelsi, has said hotels were owed 60 million euros from Thomas Cook for stays in just July and August.
Wow.
You know, now, I've been following the kind of Twitter feed on this and the Facebook feed, and nobody is blaming the immediate staff. You know, the staff themselves are doing great things. They're volunteering to make sure people are getting home on time and all of this kind of stuff. So people are pulling together. And the small community where Thomas Cook were actually created and the travel industry themselves are all pooling together and saying, look, if you worked for Thomas Cook and you don't have a job anymore, come talk to us and maybe we can sort you out with something.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point about this is that it was just bad management, it was greed, and a whole bunch of other factors that have come together and forced this out of business. 178 years old.
You shouldn't have a problem.
You shouldn't have this problem. I mean, look at Avon. They're still going. They're a landmark, right?
Still knocking.
Yeah. Still knocking.
Still knocking on your
Bing
doors.
Bong. Avon calling. Hey, right, there you go. Had my little rant. I feel a little bit better. Time for a short break. Don't forget, though, we are talking about zombie companies, or rather, companies that have kind of redesigned themselves, given themselves a hero, made themselves popular, and are still in our consciousness, like Yahoo, who reinvented a logo.
Yeah, really love the logo.
Yeah, I can tell.
Liking it.
Short break. Music coming up here on Enterprise BizBytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.